the theme this morning and for this month, a family for God's name. Our theme for the year is a people for His name, a people that would glorify Him, and we're putting a variety of focuses on that theme. And for the month of July, we'll be putting a theme on families for His name. And so each of the Sunday morning messages will be focusing upon the family and God's importance with the family. And we have a spiritual battle with it. And so let's begin with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, or 11 rather. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take you unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and I'll just catch the next two words, stand therefore. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter in chapter 5. In verse 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you, and this morning we're going to take a few minutes to consider the spiritual battle that the family is in. And the onslaught, the siege, the attempt to destroy the family. Father, help us to understand the roots of this battle and the consequences, and a little bit start with a remedy as well. And so help us, oh God, I pray that, and I pray that you would be glorified, your truths would be exalted. And Lord, I ask that if anyone is here this morning without Christ as Savior, that as we study this word and study this truth, it would draw them to you and help them to see their need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, the family is under siege, and it has been for quite some time. And there is just a tremendous battle. And the battle is more and goes beyond just marital conflict, family conflict, and the issues, just that conflict. And that in and of itself is major and monumental. But it really goes beyond that, and the family is under siege. You see, the family unit is the core institution for life, for a community, for a church, and for a nation. God intended the family to be that stronghold and that structure where each who is a part of the family can find real love. Somebody has often said you can probably count on one hand the people that love you unconditionally. And typically it is those of your family that would be on that hand. It is the place where you will find love. It was to be the institution where you could find the greatest of security, support, education and training for life, your identity, your protection. And the list goes on. I believe this was to be the core unit as to where every individual growing up in the home and within the family could find these needed values and these needed things for life and to be able to live a life under the Lord. You will find that as goes the family unit within a society, so goes that society. As the family is destroyed, so is that nation destroyed. As families are destroyed, it could lead to the destruction of a church and to a community and to a society of people. God intended for the family unit to be the core unit of every structure in America. Now then, preaching about God's design for the family today is totally different than for the preachers 40 and 50 years ago. Now the principles are the same. God's truth has not changed. God's purpose and God's design has not changed. And as a preacher and teacher of God's Word, I need to be committed to teaching God's fundamental biblical truths and principles about the family. Because there are those that have a lifetime ahead of them that need to know them, understand them, believe them, be committed to them, and endeavor to raise their family by God's principles. Because they live in a culture that is submerged in lies and everything contrary to biblical truths about the family. And so we have to teach and preach that. But at the same time, herein is the challenge. Our society has become so populated with people who have disobeyed God's principles for the family. Whether it be through divorce, remarriage, etc. Whether it be through living together without marriage, immorality outside of marriage and children being born, single parent homes, where God's principles of moral fidelity and the integrity of the marriage has already been disobeyed in an individual's life. And in many of these cases, they cannot go back and now begin to do it as God designed. Yet God has hope for them as to how they can build from that point forward to have a life pleasing to God in the rebuilding of some family relationships and rebuilding what can be rebuilt in the home structure. And so we have to be able to teach and preach the whole counsel of God's Word to where they can have hope of going on and walking with God and in many ways have God's blessing on their life without giving credence to any level of disobedience to God. And that's where our challenge is today. In what we have to deal with. Because they need biblical hope. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul was talking to the Corinthian believers, and understand that the church at Corinth and the city of Corinth, particularly the city of Corinth, was a very wicked city, and it was a very vulgar, vile, immoral culture. And people grew up in that. And that's the way it was before the gospel ever came to the city of Corinth. And when the gospel came to the city of Corinth, here was people who had lived in every form of immorality, probably marriage and divorce multiple times. And people that had been submerged in that type of a culture got saved. Now, in verse 9 it says, "Know ye not," and he's talking to those believers, "that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He goes through a wide list of wicked type living, sinful living, and you could, he put it in a little different terms, the effeminate and the abusers of themselves. That would identify the GLBT movement of today. That's what was involved there at Corinth. And then in verse 11, and he says, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." And he identifies that the believers at Corinth had been saved and washed from their sins and cleansed from their sins and justified before God, and now they have a new standing in their life and a new opportunity to move forward, to obey God, and do some things differently that God can bless in their lives. So when we deal with God's institution of the family, we have to insert, "But such were some of you." It may be some here, to where their life in the past did not live in obedience to God's intent for the family. But when you are saved and you are washed in the blood of Christ and you are justified before God, now you have a new opportunity to begin living for God and begin changing things in your life. The family unit, as God originally designed, has been seriously under attack, and especially in the last few decades of America. And here's what it has done. This move in disobedience of God's plan, here's what it has created in so many families. It has created extreme hostility from ex-husband to ex-wife, from parents to children, and conflicts between the various family members. So much so that it has made life absolutely miserable and insecure for many. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what Proverbs says. And anytime you violate God's principle in anything, it's going to make for a hard life. And we need to understand, why is life so miserable? So we can begin to understand how we can correct this, because God intended for the believers to have an abundant life, to have joy in life, and the fullness of His joy. But anytime we violate God's plans, and you will look around in the world and you will see there is living proof to what God's Word is saying. The real enemy of the family is Satan. It's not the spouse. It's not the disconnected parent. It is Satan, because he successfully uses lies and tries to entice the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all to destroy the family. Satan is on a mission to destroy everything that God has designed to reflect His image and to glorify Him. And the family is one key unit. Today, he has as his ally human government. Because through government education and legislation, it promotes a sinful life. The original purpose for government, and we talked about this Thursday night, the original purpose of government was to punish evildoers and reward those that do good or do righteously. Our government has turned that upside down, and they have both educated and legislated the family unit, marriage, identity, morality. They have all promoted and legislated and pushed horrific violations of God's truth on this. In order to destroy the family, in order to destroy individuals, in order to destroy lives, and even using activist judges to enforce it, promoting and protecting every form of moral perversion that violates God's plan and design. Lives are destroyed. Even the secularists, we're not talking about Christian psychiatrist and research. It is the secularist, the world research, that says that those who have gone down the road of homosexuality, transgender, have the highest level, they call it mental illness, but it's mental instability. And in that is the highest level of suicide. You see, when you violate God's principles of what He created us for and how to be and what to do, you put your life out on a tempestuous sea with no anchor of security. And the end is death. How do you begin to repair something that has been broken into so many pieces and in so many ways? I thought about taking a coffee cup, but I'm not sure which one I could get away with doing this to. But I thought about taking a coffee cup and a sledgehammer and crushing it in thousands of pieces, putting it in a Ziploc baggie and bringing it up here and saying, how do you put this together? I mean, every piece by piece. Because this is what this sin is doing to the families. It is being fractured by, as I mentioned, divorce and remarriage. There has been an assault on masculinity and femininity. The role that God intended for the husband and the role that God intended for the wife. Single parenting, adultery. But not only that type of behavior, but it has to do with the heart and the emotions. It is being destroyed by rebellion against God's truths. There is rampant hatred and anger. Just try driving down busy streets and you'll find out how much anger our world is filled with. Let there be a dispute and watch the anger erupt like a volcano. Wrath is when it is expressed, invented. Bitterness. The people that are living with bitterness as the result of the defilement of the family. And when people live with this anger and with this bitterness, they continue to make bad choices, wrong choices, and it continues to snowball in a miserable life and tragedies. It creates violence. These are all of the pieces of this broken thing. How do you begin? Well, it can only begin through the supernatural working of being born again. And you can't underestimate that. And yes, it is a supernatural work. When a person, I'm not talking about just converting to Christianity like you would to Mormonism or Catholicism or whatever religion you want to talk about. I'm talking about, and it is a supernatural thing that happens because you can't explain it by the forces of nature. But when a person realizes they're a sinner and they see sin as God sees sin, and they see righteousness and justice as God sees righteousness and justice, and they repent of their sin, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they are born again, and something dynamically changes in their life. That's the beginning point. If a person has never been truly born again, most of what I'm going to speak about is nothing more than a religious discipline that will cause frustration in an individual's life. Because there's only one way to really live the Christian life, and that's with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit except you be born again. And so the only way in an individual life, we may not change America. We may not change the direction our culture is going. But I tell you what, on an individual basis, it can be changed. The boulevard of misery can be changed to the highway of happiness in Jesus Christ. But it begins with being born again, receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. As it says in Corinthians, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. When we are born again, when we are saved, something happens inside that literally changes our want-tos. It literally changes what we like and what we dislike. It can literally begin changing what we see as good and what we see as evil. And until one is willing to see the siege upon the family as being evil and seeing God's principles as being good and holy, it's going to be a tough road to ever see any change. But salvation can change that view. It is through salvation that God changes our philosophies of life, changes our desires, begin changing our behavior from the inside out. Once we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can begin to rebuild and repair our family unit as close as possible. And for those that have the start and have the opportunity to keep it as close as possible as God wanted it. Created in a design for women and men as God intended. And that is to reflect the image of God. In Colossians chapter 3, you'll find back in Genesis, I won't go back there, but in Colossians chapter 3, it is rehearsing what is said in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, "Let us create man in our image." And then it says, "In our image created he man." We were created to be in the image of God. Not only a three-part person, but God's image and nature is that of holiness and righteous behavior. And that's how God created us. And we need to accept that on an individual and a personal basis. For every believer, stop and think about if you were going to make something, Eli, in engineering and designing, To spend on a human level years of designing something with a specific purpose of helping humanity. And you get it all designed and all put together and out on the market, and now they have it, and evil people take it and use it to destroy humanity. That would really be a grief to your heart. How much more so? God created and designed you and I to reflect His image and display His image in life and living and in the marriage and in the family unit as well. And Satan comes along and he takes what God has designed and what God has created and he destroys the whole idea of it and tries to destroy it, to destroy its image so it does not reflect the image of God. And so we must begin with understanding and being committed to reflecting the image of a holy God. Then we can rebuild or repair our family unit by understanding who the enemy really is and what his goal really is. Turn back to the passage I read earlier. I began to read Colossians 3, 1-10. Let me read that. Colossians 3:10. Who have put a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our life is to be transformed by the knowledge of the image of God. And that's how we should build our lives. Now let's go to that next passage, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The real enemy in this problem is Satan. Most people do not realize that that's who the real enemy is. Let me pick on somebody for a moment. Max and Pam, can I pick on you for a moment? There's this look. I'm not sure it's safe. Let's say Pam is one of our teachers, and she is, and she does something to upset me. And so my way of getting even at her is to cause her great hurt. And one of the ways I could cause her great hurt is to lie to her husband and deceive her husband and destroy their relationship. And in so doing, I not only hurt her, but I destroy the relationship. I cause great grief between the two of them. I cause great grief to each of their children. And I do it in such a way that they all look at her or him as the problem and as the originator of this problem, and they are the enemy and they are the destroyer of this family unit, and I'm sitting back here laughing at how they're fighting against each other, hating each other, destroying each other, and it's destroying the whole family, and it was me who was the enemy that did it. Folks, that's exactly how it's going in families today. One of the biggest ways Satan can try to mar the image of God is to destroy the marriage and destroy the family. And each of them thinking the other is the real enemy. When in reality, each one involved has believed the lies of Satan. Now, you're still responsible for believing lies and accountable to God. You're still responsible to God for your choices. We don't want to neglect that aspect. But the devil sits back with great laughter and says, I've destroyed a marriage. I've destroyed relationships between children and parents. I have created such vitriol, hatred, and bitterness. I have created violence. And he says, I have successfully destroyed the image that God intended in each of these lives. My friend, understand who the real enemy it is. And it is Satan, and he comes with lies, and it is he who desires to destroy every family relationship possible. And in the process, he always gives the lie that there'll be something good come out of it, and there is never anything good that comes out of it. Because all it brings is misery, hostility, and bitterness. And do you know what happens? The next generation doesn't get it. They're submerged with some of the same lies. And they begin replicating those same kind of relationships. And then they begin breaking those relationships in the same kinds of ways. And then there's another generation that is hurt and angry and bitter and miserable. And then another generation. And it doesn't stop until somebody is willing to come to God and recognize the problem and recognize the enemy and begin to understand the real solution that God has provided. That's where it'll begin. And so we can begin to repair and build our family relationships by understanding who the enemy really is, by understanding his real intent, his real desire, his lies, his destruction, and the source of misery in the world. We can also, and let me tell you this, God's remedies are simple. Now, sometimes people want to be intellectual, and they try to make it sound complicated because that makes them sound more intellectual, that they figured out the complicated stuff. But God's remedies really are simple. A bad relationship can begin rebuilding by first having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. Because you'll never be able to have a really good relationship with any family member until you begin having a right relationship with God. And that has to be foundational. I said it's simple. Much of what I'm saying, in fact, everything that I'm saying is no new thing. It is things that I have said before. But here's why it needs to be repeated frequently. Because you and I live in a culture and in a world. Out in society, the news, the media, the songs, everything about our culture is protracting the lies of Satan and the destruction, and so much so that it becomes the norm, and unfortunately it is the norm in our culture. And then we become so comfortable in the norm that we begin accepting it, and the sad thing about it is we begin kind of acquiescing to some of those things, and we have to be reminded we can't do that, because that is the trail and the path of destruction, and it'll ruin our lives and it'll ruin the lives of our children. And so we have to be reminded from time to time of these great biblical truths that changes lives and the things that destroy lives. whether it be a problem with addiction, whether it be a problem in a marriage, whether it be a problem between parents and children, whether it be a problem in you know, the list can go on. God has simple remedies. And every spiritual battle that you face begins with a real personal relationship with God. Spending time in God's Word, learning to know God, who He is, learning what the Word of God teaches us as to how to mold our lives and what we do and what we ought not to do, learning how to mold our attitudes and have the right attitudes. Listen, there's going to be a lot of things that happen in life that can upset your apple cart of life. And learning how to respond to those things, to not let it upset your life, but to be able to respond and deal with it in a godly fashion. And as you study God's Word, what I've been doing through this month is there's 31 Proverbs. I'm taking a Proverbs a day. And then I'm also, on July 1st, I took Psalm 1. Psalm 32 and every 31st Psalm and reading through. And I'm reading through the Psalms this month that way. And as I read Proverbs and Psalms, I am instructed in what's right and wrong, what to be aware of. And as I study the Psalms, I understand that my God is a prayer away. He hears my prayers. That I'm not the first one that has been discouraged, that felt like this world is going to overwhelm me and everything's going to fall apart. And God is there, and God has the answers, and God will guide and care for us and protect us. And so spending time daily in God's Word so you know God and also know yourself a lot better. Then in Ephesians, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to highlight parts of the armor. I'm not going to take time to go through all of them. But in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to highlight these five truths. First of all, it says, in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. You need to know the truth. You need to have the truth. Our lives are constantly bombarded with lies. The news media, which liar do you want to listen to? I have been, in years gone by, the subject of the news on a more local level when we encountered a conflict back in Nebraska. And I looked at what they printed and I listened to what they said, and they never got things right. The facts were never right. They were lies. And if that's the way it's been back then, several years ago, it is so much worse today. We're constantly bombarded with lies. And there's only one place you can get absolute truth, and that's God's Word. If you want to know the truth about life, if you want to know the truth about morality, if you want to know the truth about sin and about righteousness and about marriage and about relationships, study the Word of God. You've got to have the truth. Because if you do not have the truth, if you're living your life on the basis of lies that you've been taught and led to believe, you're going to make bad choices and life's going to be miserable. And then what happens? Be committed to finding the truth and knowing the truth. And then commit to righteous living. 14 says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. An awful lot of our misery in life is the result of sinful choices. Not all, but an awful lot of it is. That makes about as much sense as taking a ball-peen hammer and putting your hand on the anvil and just start banging on your fingers. It hurts. You make sinful choices, it's going to hurt in your life. When we live righteously, life can be tough enough. Even the righteous get diseases. The righteous suffer persecution from the ungodly. But life can be so much more miserable as the fruit of bad choices in life. No matter how many bad choices are in the past, you're never going to solve them by making more bad choices. You only change it by making godly choices, moving forward. And so understand by being committed to the truth and then righteous living. And then in verse 16, the shield of faith. The Christian life is a life of trust and faith. Step out in faith and believe God. Believe that God is in control of this world. He's still on His throne. Believe God cares about you. Faith, a life of faith. Be a student of the Word, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Be committed to studying the Word of God. I spoke of that. And then last, I find in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Pray and persevere. Do right today. Do right this afternoon. Persevere in faith. Not just temporarily, but until the day you die or the day you go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God speaks to us via the Word of God. This is God's voice, His Word, that is given to us. We speak to God by prayer. We have been invited to come to God and pour out our hearts and pray and bring our request and seek God for answers. And so pray not only for yourself, but intercede for your other family members. You know, it's pretty tough to hate a family member that you're really praying for and really wanting God's best for in their life. It's really tough to keep bitterness against a family member that you're really begging God to work in that life. Pray with perseverance. Don't ever give up. It is inescapably obvious that the family is under siege and is swiftly being destroyed in our culture. We may not be able to reverse the direction of America. However, by God's grace, you and I do have the ability to do right and not participate in its miseries. You have an opportunity before you to either build a marriage and family, or rebuild the relationships according to God's intended principles. You can either continue to live in misery and hostility and anger and bitterness, or you can follow God's plan of love, care, joy, helpfulness. And to understand, we can be delivered from the bondage of Satan's lies and all the destruction that he brings into the home and have relationships that we can enjoy as we walk through life and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to take this lesson and this message and work in each heart and in each life here today. Building principle upon principle, molding, changing, saving, and rebuilding lives. And Father, I know it's your desire and it's your intent that every family relationship was designed for joy, security, and peace. And it is the sin that has destroyed all of that. Help each one to understand who the real enemy is, what he has done, and how you can have victory through Jesus Christ over all of this. In Jesus' precious name, amen.